Grande.
Che mi piace del mio cinque. Is Mr. Mtongo with us? Can I never keep the order outside if it's still not our member? Honorable members, good morning to everybody and to our guests. This is Tuesday, not Blue Monday. I'm suspecting that we've done everything during the weekend and Monday and the continuity day. And some of our guests, they don't have continuity day. They were doing their own things in the office. I'm back, honorable members. Those who allowed me that I must go to New Zealand. We came with it. Yes. But it was a long journey. Fly Sunday, we arrived there on Tuesday. So, we'll deal with it later. according to our agenda, it's in front of us members. We want to put any other things in agenda briefing by Mr. Kidabu Mhlongo, deliberation and petition from residents of Orlando. Number two, briefing by Commission for Gender Equality. Number three, consideration of our oversight to Eastern Cape and Housing. Consideration of community matters arising. Thank you. With those words, everybody is welcomed. Can all Mr. Mhlongo brief us as a committee? We've seen the petition. We had a discussion in MINMEC, and we highlighted this to the committee. But today we wanted that the owner of the petition, can he take us through in order that we must hear and we must understand what happened, which other areas that they referred before it must be in front of us as national. You do understand that with three spheres of government. So listen, we wanted to check whether it has been exhausted. There is a municipality, there is a legislator, and there is national government. Thank you, Mr. Mhlongo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, good morning to all. I'm from Orlando, and I'm a member of parliament. I'm representing the community. One of the things that I wanted to first highlight that I support any development within the community, but that development must have clear mandate and understanding of the public participation, so to say, where we believe which particular principles must follow. And one of the things in this petition, the community members, they always welcome any development, but the issue is on this development, the housing development in an old rugby ground field. Whereby they are using it, because remember Orlando Stadium came in, there was a track, racing track. Now in Orlando we don't have a rugby stadium, or we don't have a rugby field. We don't have where our kids are running, like your track racing. Now we believe that the development must come with the understanding of community. That's then one of the things that I can highlight. It's not even conducive for us to reform in a sense of the heritage. It's the heritage side, whereby we understand the people like Shomasono, Skaga, and their fathers or you name them all, the youth that failed here along the East, and we believe really the community must be consulted above all, and it must have effective consultation. We send petition to the city of Johannesburg, we send petition to the province. The city of Johannesburg did not respond, but KGA responded. They are still in negotiations, and the province, we are still looking for a response from the province, a petition. And so far, the project have stopped due to the community did not welcome it. Oh, okay. I saw you speaking, Chair. I didn't think maybe. Yeah. One of the things, no problem. One of the things we highlight, even the plan is not even on IDP. Your UIDP, your 5IDP is not there. And we believe the promotion of sports is so important to us. And you cannot just close your field and accommodate housing. I do understand that housing is so important to you, but cohesion and a uniting community and not just close the sports facility and come up with a rental unit. And the contract was on site and it's now 8 months. The project has been on hold. The application of rezone was not even done, but they wanted even to implement rezoning of changing it from the sports facility to the heritage site, changing it to the mixed development, so to say, even done. Sure, so far, I think that is the brief that I can give this house, but I wanted the committee to consider the importance of our sports facilities, that we must protect them and must promote sports at large, because either it gives a unity or it unites the community at large.
Thank you. Honourable member, you want to say something? Honourable member, that's the time that you must say something. Honourable, the whip of the committee, Mr. Alibot.
Thank you.
Honourable
Malazi. I wanted to... Oh, are you... Well, I'm happy that the honourable member came to their community to that. And I have listened and read the petition. Given that the JDA has responded, and there is now a consultation, maybe we should await that the processes that you have started in terms of the CT and the legislation are exhausted. That because the petition is here, that we should recommend to the speaker that we should await that they exhaust all processes before we can really consider. So that is the suggestion that I'm making.
Honourable Malak, thank you, Honourable.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted more clarity, because it will appear from the brief that was done in the actual petition that the engagement has only come from the Johannesburg Development Agency. And not from the city per se, and the fact that, I mean, the reference to its non-inclusion in the IDP, that in light of that, I mean, is the consultation happening with JDA and the city of Johannesburg, or is it happening with JDA entirely on its own? Because I think that is also important in determining whatever course of action that we might explore.
Thank you, Honourable Manana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues, and good morning, honorable members. My concern is that I'm on the same issue as the previous speaker, the honorable member. The honorable Whip and the honorable Malazi.
that I can see the 30A, whether it's a state-owned entity when I look at the document, because we do have this consultative forum, which is the IDP. And after the IDP, we do have the provincial legislators where petition being handed to. Then after, maybe we can take, because this state-owned entity, when this petition has been handed over to them, I'm so concerned. Although they already mentioned some of the things, we are on the same page. I'm supporting on what has been said, since there are some other procedures that they were not followed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, President. Can I just check, is there perhaps any area around in that place where perhaps good houses could be put? Because I think now the houses are very important to the people. But I want to check, is there any alternative? Or perhaps is this the decision of the sector that now these houses are not be put, then they are complete about it? I didn't get it clear. Thank you very much.
So far, thank you. Honourable Song.
Well, I want to present the seat. I'll start that question. There's not even clear understanding who's going to benefit with those houses. There's no clear, the rental stock, but there's no clear that who are going to benefit, are the beneficiaries, not even clear. Now, I want to represent the seat that the land allocated to next to Orlando. I don't want to lie to you, but I remember I was in that community housing in Section 79 in the city of Johannesburg, because we earmarked between Orlando and Heathcliff, there's an open land, but I'm not sure how far the land is today. But we should have, Honorable Manana, we have submitted petition to the province, they're quiet, honestly, we didn't even get an acknowledgement letter to say we are being there, this process that you're talking about, they're quiet. Yes, ADA is 100% owned by the city of Johannesburg. The consultation part of JDA, remember, had the budget allocated. It's a development agency. They wanted to utilize the budget because they're developing. Now, they wanted to make sure that the community has the buy-in, whereby it started, in a sense, with no, is it possible for us to utilize this financial budget, which is 25 million, which was allocated on that project for phase one. Now, they wanted to buy-in, and community said, no, the buy-in is okay, as long provided they are not going to have this mixed housing, which is the first phase, actually, it's okay just to make sure that the field is okay, fenced, and everything. And I think I've covered.
Thank you so much. I'm sure we're not going to discuss and correctly if we didn't invite you. But according to this committee, we are doing the oversight on the Department of Sport and Recreation. And as I'm listening, I don't think that on behalf of the community, we have exhausted the all the structures, because if this thing is related to e-housing and also Umaspala, I wondered that let's reflect how come as a committee of sport and recreation enter in this space was the dispute. Because if e-communities in Umaspala, they didn't put anything in the IDPs, Usalka is there. A portfolio committee has got its own rules and how is it working. I'm suspecting that at this stage the committee, we do listening, but we are seeing gaps in between, that there are those other spheres of governance that are supposed to be persuaded on what you are saying. Honorable Manana, Honorable Arihomo, Honorable Malachi.
Thank you, Sir President. As you have already alluded to that, as a committee, of course, this is outside our mandate. of the committee because we to investigate allegations being made. We are considering entities' budget processes and passes the legislation referred to it. The alleged importing imposition by the JDA and then on the community of Orlando West. I think this is out of our mandate. That's what I can say.
Because if we want to really deal with the petition, we must ensure that all the key stakeholders are here. And that is why we didn't want to get into the details of whether IGP has been done or what. Because all the stakeholders are not here. And that is why we're making the recommendation that because it has been brought to us, we have had the fact we have tabled it. We refer it to the speaker that it should be referred to the legislature and the state should give us a report. It means we have access to the CCC. That is the recommendation that I'm making. But if we want to deal with the matter, it means we must bring all the stakeholders. Yes. We can't move on the basis of one side stakeholder. Because if there is a conflict, there is two sides to that conflict. And if we want to do justice, all role players must be here. So for now, I think I have made a recommendation that let's refer it back. And then with the card instructions that we want the legislature to report that to us as to how they felt with this matter.
Thanks, Chair. I think procedurally to provide the platform is a step in the right direction that was tabled before the committee. But I'm just wondering in terms of the recourse, and I understand very well that if it's us engaging the provincial legislature, there's more weight to it to get a response. But I think whatever course of action you take, we should bear in mind that there hasn't been any response to the initial petition, and that effort was taken to come to a portfolio committee of sports and recreation because the other sphere did not provide that platform. And I think getting into the merits of it is tricky when, as Honorable Rahoma correctly points out, when you know all the other parties haven't presented their case. But I think we can provide a recourse in terms of either setting up that engagement that wasn't done, and we don't have to be the drivers of that engagement, but we just need to know from the legislative side for our own benefit whether there has been any action on their side or not.
Any other input, Honorable
Sir? Thanks. I just wanted to caution us and say that we mustn't forget the other half of our name, that's sports and recreation. You know, that we make sure that in terms of recreation, that we provide the platform. So I think that the Honorable Ralaforma covered us to a large extent in terms of the in terms of the recommendation. And as I support my colleague here, I think we need to find a way in which the resolution itself on our side almost gets out of the city or the province to respond, regardless of what the outcome is, but it needs to respond to petition.
Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Chair. I think a lot of points have been covered. We cannot really act on something that is one-sided represented. You know, it involves different stakeholders. That we must, if we want to pursue this, we must evolve on dealing with this thing. I think what we can do is to refer the matter to the legislature and also do follow-up after that. Because if we just close it without doing any official or formal reference, it's going to it might not be addressed. So we rather do that thing, and then, I mean, there are a lot of unused lands around Sulu that can be used, unlike to interfere. But let us not go to conclusions because this is our allegation. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. Honorable members, I'm suggesting that we come to an end. The petition was referred to us by the speaker, and as a committee, we'll be writing back to the speaker and cite what was decided as a committee. And then we'll take it from there. I'm suspecting that Mr. Mshongo, you do understand the contribution of members, because you are not a commissioner, you are the committee, and the committee has been given this by the speaker. According to this committee, there are so many gaps in between, because we are here on behalf of the community, and we don't know why the legislator didn't respond, and how is it here now? How are they going to respond to whoever? So we agree that we'll refer this to the speaker, writing our discussions and our decisions. We wait from that when the speaker's office may refer it back to us with facts, because we'll be putting facts to themselves. I thank you. Thank you, honorable member. Thank you. Honorable members, with our other guests or visitors, we are going to briefing by Commission for Gender Equality, public hearings report on gender transformation South African football, 28 June 2012. I know that there are about two people that I was part when they will be in interview. The chairperson of ECJC and Mr. Mgopi will hear from you with your colleagues whether when you pass those interviews, you went there and sit down doing nothing. Thank you so much to come to the committee and with this agenda that you are coming with. We'll be listening and we'll be engaged in it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm one of the members of Mpano Zelushuzi. I chair the Commission for Gender Equality of South Africa. Thanks, and I know that you have gender equality, Mr. President, and women empowerment at heart as a former chair for the caucus for women. And we are happy that you are in force, and we hope that wave of liking gender equality is going to come across, and if I were here. Chair, we reintroduced the team, and about 60% of the team resides in the Western Cape, so shouldn't say we brought a bigger delegation. Our office is just 5 minutes walk from here. On my left, I have Commissioner Thoko Mpumlwana, who is the Deputy Chairperson for the Commission. I know that most of you may know as a former Deputy Chair for the IEC, but now is with us. It's crossed the floor. On my next to me is our CEO, Ms. Keketso Maema, who is the CEO of the Commission. We've just renewed her contract for the next 5 years. We have our HOD legal, Ms. Marisa Fandike, who has all our investigation. Closer to her, we have Eunice Porto, our legal officer. And we have Advocate Wallace Mgopi, who is the Commissioner, and the Commission, and he chairs the Legal Committee of the Commission. And we have Advocate Kamra Nituda, who is our Parliamentary Officer, who is always here. Thanks, Chair. That's the CGT. And then Chabisa Ngada, I'm not sure where. On the other side, who is our Provincial Coordinator for Western Cape. Colleagues and other members, the Commission for Gender Equality received a complaint chair from the South African Women's Football Association, SAWFA, in 2009 against the South African Football Association, SAFA, in terms of the Commission for Gender Equality prescripts, in terms of our own internal investigation manual. We assessed the complaint and saw fit as a commission that we needed to investigate the complaint, and we did. What we'll be presenting to you is the results of the public hearing and also the complaint on its entirety and our findings about that particular complaint. I know that there are some comments from other sport bodies why we did not investigate everything in terms of sports and so on and other codes. I think we're responding to a specific complaint that was lodged within the commission. We are very happy to see that the committee considered gender equality in the presentation of women and women empowerment across areas of work, and we felt that gender equality should also prevail in sports. And Chair, I must also say that it was a difficult road to travel to investigate this complaint because in some instances SAFA was willing and unwilling to provide information that we needed as a Commission for Gender Equality. Even now, we have finalized the report and have sent it to them. We want to actually check how far they actually implementing the recommendation, which the Commission actually assist us to call them to actually explain. And it's always difficult to engage with SAFA at that level. The complaint started when we had the former president, Nemathandane, and now I think it's still the same with the current president in terms of getting the response from SAFA. And we sent a barrage of emails, letters to SAFA to actually amass them, to actually respond to our own issues that have been raised. Chair, I must also say that as a commission, we have also written to the minister, but just for information to give him the report and the recommendations, so that at least at the ministry level could also be able to deal with this. Chair, with that, before I hand over to the CEO to present, it's important for CG to note that sports is a very important sector, and in general, and particularly for soccer, and command massive resources. And if one sexual sex group is actually discriminated against, it could be discriminated against all these massive resources that are talking about. Not only about playing football, it's also about the tenders, it's also about sponsorship, it's also about all sorts of things, it's also about the sportsmanship and so on. So discriminating on basis of gender and sex will be really unconstitutional, and that's why CGE, we feel that these are matters that the committee must also make sure that whenever these bodies are coming before you, you always ask these gender-related questions so that they are able to actually speak about this particular issue. Chair, I will, through your permission, I'm going to ask the CEO of the commission to actually present the report, and it's our understanding that we decided that we wanted to show the bicycle chair. And we also understand that maybe the presentation was circulated because it was sent to your office in advance. And I'm going to ask through your permission the CEO to do the presentation chair, and then we'll engage the after.
Thank you very much. Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. As we will all be aware, the Commission for Gender Equality was set up by Section 181 of the Constitution, and Section 187 of the same Constitution then set out the actual mandate for the Commission, which is to promote respect for gender equality, protection, development and attainment of gender equality. The Commission further has got additional powers and functions which are prescribed by our enabling legislation, Commission for Gender Equality Act 89 of 1996, which was amended in 2013. Sorry, I see that there seems to be a shortage of presentation comments. And we can share. Thank you. Sorry about that. We are under the impression that the copies had already been used by the office. Otherwise, we would have provided enough copies. As I was saying, additional powers have been set up by Commission for Gender Equality Act in our Section 11 of that specific Act. And we are there to monitor, investigate. The report that we are putting before you is a result of the investigation process. We do undertake research and we go out to communities to conduct outreach and education processes. And we lobby like-minded institutions on matters that we would want them to change. For instance, we always engage with the South African Law Reform Commission wherever we see that there are gaps in specific legislation as far as gender equality is concerned. We advise Parliament, which is one of the reasons that we've been called here, and report on issues that concern gender equality. We set up monitor compliance to regional and international conventions that the state has acceded to or signatory to.
I'm just saying something. I think what was done is you were sending you two documents. We're sending you the PowerPoint presentation and the actual report. Okay. 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 But it's the same information is in the report. That is what you have is the report component. It's summarizing what is in the report. Okay.
And we sort of have a mandate that is stipulated in the ICEPUDA, the Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act for 2000. And in terms of that particular act, the Commission is mandated to assist complainants in instituting procedures in the Equality Court, and we also obviously conduct investigation and then make recommendations regarding persistent contraventions on specifically ground of gender discrimination. I think the Chair has touched on the background as well in terms of how this particular matter came about, and I know that he has also made statements that speak to how important football is. I think as a background, we know that football as a sport enjoys the greatest support in South Africa in comparison to other sports activities. Women have proven themselves as excellent football players, evidenced by our female national squad, Banyana Banyana, which has put South Africa in women's football specifically on the map, both nationally and internationally. I saw this morning when they were scoring some goals. I don't know if I should say this. Even though our main counterparts have really not lived up to the idea or the ideal, hoping that perhaps tonight or today they will redeem themselves. Nonetheless, issues of gender discrimination within South African football and inadequate transformation and support measures for women football have really come to the fore. During 2009, the Commission received a complaint by the South African Women's Football Association, SAFA, against South African Football Association, SAFA. And in that particular complaint, there were three specific things that SAFA was alleging. The fact that SAFA did not take the interests of women's football into consideration to the same extent as they did our male counterparts' football. SAFA had failed or denied to grant SAFA legitimate membership, and SAFA had failed to implement the resolutions of the SAFA Indaba that was held in 1997 as well as the Football Commission of 2002, which really still spoke to issues around recognition, issues around ensuring that women also get similar you know, funding and all the other, and recognition like the male counterparts. And as the Commission, in order for us to undertake the investigation process, we had quite a number of correspondence and we had meetings with SAFA, and we even tried to mediate at that particular point in time. but we really did not get adequate information from SAFA. The mediation process was also initiated by indicators, but we were not satisfied as the commission with the responses that we got in that mediation process. We saw that the way SAFA was not really committing themselves properly to this particular process. And in our initial findings in terms of the engagement and the investigation, we indicated that there was inadequate commitment from SAFA, and there were no measures that were really taken by SAFA to ensure that they eliminate gender discrimination within football, specifically looking at issues around remuneration, looking at the management of the sports processes, and opportunities being put or being availed for women footballers as opposed to men. The commission then resolved to convene a public hearing to establish the more truth behind allegations that were leveled against SAFA to ensure SAFA's accountability for gender transformation in South Africa, South African football. When we undertake public hearings, we also put people who will be engaging with us under oath. And we felt that that is a further process that will really ensure that we get the real information that is at the heart of this particular complaint, which we wanted to engage SAFA on. In terms of the process that was followed or the methodology, we undertook legal research. We did desktop, did legal research, and we had a series, we had a questionnaire that was sent to SAFA, and there were specific questions that they were requested to respond to. And obviously then we use the legislative framework that we have that is in place, starting from the Constitution, looking into the conventions that we have signed, like CEDAW and Beijing Platform for Action, and all that. So we just looked at basically the Employment Equity Act and everything else. So that was the landscape in terms of legal or legislative framework that we looked into. In terms of Section 11E of the Commission for Gender Equality Act, this public hearing was convened on the 4th of April 2012. The hearing, we had to then postpone. We were ready, we even gave them a court order, which by the way they haven't still honored, because we called them, we had to go through the process of getting a venue that will ensure that we engage in a proper manner, and the president of SAFA did not honor that particular meeting, and therefore we could not engage with anybody else. Because for us as the CGE, it is important that we speak to the people that are really accountable, so that when there are specific recommendations and findings that we put forward during that particular engagement process, we ensure that there is commitment right from the top. And on that basis, we then had to postpone the hearing and threaten SAFA with subpoena, because in terms of our powers, we can subpoena somebody to come and appear before us. And the meeting was then rescheduled for the 28th, and the president then honored that particular process and appeared before the hearing. There were specific initial findings in response to the complaint and the investigation, and also on the basis of the responses that we had received. We looked at the constitution of SAFA, and one of the issues that we raised was that the preamble of that constitution did not adequately address issues of gender equality, and we had called for an amendment of the constitution to try and effect gender equality and other policies related to in terms of national legislative framework. The panel was very critical of SAFA's lack of support for women's football, and we were really unconvinced by SAFA's argument which they put forward around issues of social prejudice, and that there was interest from sponsors as far as women's football was concerned. It was suggested that SAFA's constant reference to prejudice and stereotypes reflected the attitude of SAFA's leaders, and that they needed to change. We in engaging, we didn't find them to really be coming forward, you know, open about this particular issue, because yes, We have run quite a number of gender transformation hearings in another sector, in the public and in the private sector, and many a time we look even at the language that the accounting officers and the CEOs are putting forward. And we also look into that because we feel that sometimes if you keep saying, you know, the sponsors are not interested, there isn't anything that is tangible that you're putting on the ground to ensure that you cultivate that culture of ensuring that sponsors sort of get interest in this particular or get a buy-in. So that was one of the issues. At leadership level, Papa mentioned that although structures are encouraged, they are not forced to ensure that women are represented at their AGM meetings. Any entity which has interest in football letters will have to avail themselves. That is what the argument was all about. A great deal has been achieved at the lower levels, but transformation at senior level nationally remains a challenge. There is no possibility of being appointed at the senior level unless processes such as quota systems are put in place. So what we were trying to say is we can't just leave it to fate and say that, you know, anybody is welcome to come and undertake this particular process. But we must then take concrete steps to then say to ourselves as Papa, for our own board, for instance, we are going to ensure that at least we get so many women. If you look at the SAFA board, at that particular point in time when we were engaging with them, they had only 2 women, I think out of about 38 members of the board. But now as we were coming here, we also just looked in terms of desktop, just to check whether the status quo is still the same. We realized that they just added 1 member, so there are now 3 women. As 3 women sitting in that particular board out of, I think, a number of about 33 or so. So we still see that is really a slow pace as far as ensuring transformation. There are no support systems for structures that are struggling at provincial level to meet the targets in terms of percentage of women. The percentage of staff's budget allocation towards gender mainstreaming process is also not there. Budget allocation also showed a huge gap. It was revealed that there is no parity for the exact amount allocated to men and women's football in 2012 when we were looking at this particular matter. And yet they have a budget of about, you know, between 297 and 320 million. And when we looked at that time, between that maximum of 320 million, only 36 million was set aside for women's football. And that is just a mere 8% of their total budget. There is no development and growth in women's football. Male children have been catered for, but girls are not catered for. The Forum for Empowerment of Women also raised, there were also parties during the hearings, and they also raised concern around lesbian members who they felt were also discriminated against in local soccer teams. There doesn't seem to be adequate measures put in place to address discrimination experienced by these LGBTI communities. Inadequate measures have been put in place to monitor whether grants are being used to develop women's teams in different communities, since support is not visible in many of the communities. The Commission also decided that they will be looking into SAFA's advertising expenditure figures in relation to promoting Banyana Banyana as compared to Bafana Bafana prior to the 2010 World Cup. SAFA was requested to address the issue of salary parity between Banyana Banyana and Bafana Bafana. And this is also seen that it is still prevalent, it's still an issue, because we do know that in our Western Cape office we've now received not so long ago a complaint, I believe from the member of this particular committee as well, relating directly to the disparities as far as salaries between men and women in football are concerned. In terms of the 1997 SAFA Indaba resolution, SAFA was also supposed to formulate and implement programs to support and uplift women's football, but there is still clear disparity in funding between the two. It was noted from the hearing as well that SAFA were claiming that SAUFA was disbanded, and that really means that they were not recognized in SAFA. However, during the engagement, it was clear that somehow SAUFA is now on the floor and it's there. And one of the issues that we were then saying was to say, SAFA needs to then engage, come together with SAUFA and see what are the requirements that SAUFA needs to then deal with to ensure that then SAFA recognizes them properly. We made some recommendations, and the recommendations that we did were also looking at SAFA, and we also made some recommendations specifically talking to the department. We encouraged SAFA to take necessary steps to ensure compliance with the Employment Equity Act and really move towards a 50-50 quota. And at that time is when we were also as a country having engagement on the WIGI bill, the Women Empowerment and Equality legislation that was here at Parliament, and there were specific engagements on. And we had then requested them to say, before this particular act comes into play or gets adopted by Parliament, that SAFA should see how to put forward some quotas so that they ensure that they get the necessary, you know, get women also involved in this particular processes. There's an obligation on SAFA's leadership to put quotas, funding and support interventions, necessary policy measures and awareness measures in place to ensure transformation towards women's equal representation in its staffing, in management, and also in leadership structures. SAFA needed, we also highlighted that they needed to take its obligation to promote women's football more seriously and pursue scholarship to promote and advance women's football. It should not be necessary, it should not be necessary to take from the men's football, you know, to provide for women's football. The commission called on SAFA to find ways for providing adequacy for women's football. We looked at SAFA's sexual harassment policy as well, and we saw that it was a little bit deficient. We felt that it wasn't up to scratch, and we also offered to say they must go back, put a draft together, and then bring it to the commission, and then the commission can look at it and see how we can make input into that. During that particular process, we found that there was one reported case in 5 years, and looking at the context that we work in, we found that not to be too unbelievable. I mean, these days, when it comes to issues of sexual harassment, we are dealing with a lot of things. We are hearing jobs for sex, we are hearing masks for sex, and all those things. And for us, it's not credible for an institution to say, in the period of 5 years, there's only been one case of sexual harassment, especially when we even saw that there were specific gaps on the sexual harassment policy that needed really to be closed off to ensure that these matters are dealt with properly. And we had then requested the SAFA CEO at the time to carry out an audit in terms of, you know, some of these policies, and then come back to us and ensuring that there are appropriate mechanisms that are put in place. And those also needed to be publicized. We asked that they adopt a sexual harassment policy and procedures. I spoke to that as well. The Women's Football Committee should comprise of men and women. It is pointless just to have a committee that only consists of women who do not have authority and opportunity to take up decisions and influence some of the processes. So we want, even at a higher level, like even at that particular football, women's football committee, that it shouldn't just be an issue of it's women only in that particular committee. And we requested that they find a way of profiling Banyana, if they should also make that a priority, the same way that we make Bafana Bafana a priority. The commission was also requested to follow up and ensure that the 20 million that SAFA gained to have pledged Banyana for Olympics would indeed be spent on Banyana. The commission was, the federal also passed, look into or find a way of checking and ensuring that SAFA raised sponsorship for women. Programs are necessary to change stereotypes and attitudes, and therefore felt that SAFA will need to source funding for specific programs that will ensure that they give programs in the communities and come up with awareness and all that. And we also said to them they could even see if they can't seek partnership with departments of basic education, for instance. It is evident in terms of that particular process, they were saying that SAUBA does not exist, and therefore we then said SAFA has meet with SAUBA within 3 months to take up the process of registering SAUBA properly forward, and SAUBA was also requested to ensure that they cooperate with that process. And then it was noted that feedback to the commission would come out of that particular process. There are expectations from society that gender is mainstreamed in SAFA's work, and to this end, the association needed a clear strategic direction, plans and targets in its policy and also in its programs. Like I indicated, we also had some recommendations that we put forward to the Department of Sport and Recreation. And we were saying that the department must also try and introduce educational awareness activities to promote sport for the girls' health and also to address gender equality in sport generally. The department must, in its national plan, indicate the need to promote and support women in sport and put measures in place to address gender disparity in 14 codes and structures. The department must put quota systems in place to ensure all sports are accessible to women and the girl children. The department must work together with SAFA to uplift and support women's football from the grassroots level up to national and international structures and put processes to support these in place. As much as South Africa has a women's football national team, it lacks similar popularity and exposure from the department as compared to the male football team, and the department must therefore ensure that equality is put to the fore in this as far as that is concerned. SAFA has indicated lack of funding when we were engaging with them, and therefore we were requesting the department to also put forward something to ensure that promotion of women's football and gender transformation within football is a goal that is achieved. And in conclusion, Chair, we feel that sports should be seen as a vehicle for gender equality and empowerment of women and girls. The relationship between gender equality and sport is not solely just about achieving equality in women's participation and treatment within sports, but it is also promoting sports for gender equality or harnessing the potential of sports for social empowerment of women and girls. Sports offer a valuable channel to strengthen women and girls' capabilities and provide information on important social issues such as health, HIV and AIDS, and women's rights. Women's participation in sport can also play a role in challenging the stereotypes and the breakdown and be able to break down entrenched discriminatory attitudes and behaviors. Sport can serve as a vehicle to improve women and girls' leadership skills, roles, participation in decision-making. The acquisition of valuable skills in management, negotiation, decision-making empowers them to become leaders in all areas of community life as well as in the household. We then, as a commission, as required, we launched our report with this parliament. We tabled it with parliament, and there was a specific follow-up process that we needed to do. First and foremost, we needed to check that the actual registration happens of SAUBA, so that SAFA is able to then recognize them properly. We are aware that SAUBA has given specific information to SAFA, but as we have indicated, we are having a serious challenge because we've just been writing letters. We were even agreeing that at some point, probably during November or so, if they haven't responded, that because we are having employment equity hearings with the universities that is going to start, that immediately after that process, we should then subpoena SAFA because it looks like that's the only language that they understand. They understand only when you threaten them and to throw them in jail if they don't come forward. And therefore, that's now the strategy. The last letter that was sent to them, they should have responded last Thursday. But we're coming here today, we still haven't received any correspondence from them. And we also send, as the chair said, correspondence attaching the report to the ministry as well, looking into the fact that there were also specific recommendations or specific things that we wanted the department to be able to take up in engaging with SAFA and obviously on issues of gender equality within the sporting arena in general. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. I want to say just 2 minutes. I used to play netball. The changes there, they were not there. I'm seeing now the gap that if it was on those days of ours, one other time we're in the camping, for interstate games, we were put in one nicer accommodation. When they discovered that it's a nice accommodation, we had to be chatted out, saying that Botswana must come, not Botswana, don't let them up. Bakuta drums, they must come and sleep. There was a area called Equip Logos. When they've done that, I wanted to tell this story. This last weekend, there was one of us who passed on, but I couldn't. I still have his second legs. And then they came the coaches from Mama. They were saying that you must pack your clothes, your kids. You must go and sleep in the hall with the athletes and one. We're playing netball as adults. And after I was the captain then, I said, no way, we're not going there. And then the coaches and whoever, they say, no, this is from above. I said, call above to come here. But finally we decided that let's go out of this place. Let's go and sleep in my place. And in the morning we'll be on the ground. That they could not believe that they would get us to meet him. And then in the evening, we said, we're not going to sleep there. It was the first time that netball also was given a hotel. And we were saying that we'll be sleeping at home and then we'll come. We went to, in this event, they gave us a dress suit. As Lala, every now and then when the new tracksuits are coming, we're given a soccer and rugby. As netball, we're given the old tracksuits. We decided that we must buy nice tracksuits that come the time that all the interstates, they must around the field with their flag and their colors. Early in the morning, we put on our tracksuit like this, our own. What happened? Where is your uniform? We said we don't have the color of our country because those tracksuits is Mugama Kwapa. They see with writing, but they're still stinking. And we sat in the stadium looking at everybody. There were no netball players who were taking the round. In the evening, they did come and saying that we'll take them to the driving again, but they did feel the pinch because all the ladies were not in the opening. We're just ripping our tracksuit like this. I'm narrating this thing that struggle continues. What now I'm seeing? I'm seeing now that Banyana, they do some privileges that we didn't get. And I'm suspecting that as they are continuing fighting the battle of maybe lacking of resources, they would get there. One other day they were waking us up. I said, we are not boys. You can't just take the blankets and put it there. I said, you know, you must not do it again. I was suspended at the captain.
honorable members, I'm trying to highlight and show you where do we come from. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that whenever a minister or a department is coming mm-hmm. here, they do brief us with what they are doing in the department. It's a pity I cannot refer that, but as this committee, we have a report about what are they doing to girls and but not 100%. I'm suspecting that better conditions now for our women are there, but not 100%. Any intake? I was G7, GK, number 7. Honorable Abraham, Manana, Honorable Musi, Honorable Mujega, Honorable Malazi, and the Honorable
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you to the presenter for the presentation. Honorable Chairperson, you must come and join us. We play every Wednesday, Nepal. Thank you. Acacia, we're playing us at the end of Western Acacia. Yes, we're very active in the Nepal team of Parliament. Thank you. Just like the rugby plays next to me. Chairperson, I'm just concerned that this report in front of us is dated the 28th of June 2012. And my concern is what has transpired since 2012 to the current, and also why it's only coming to this photo now. Maybe it's my first term here, so I'm not sure. Then also the report states clearly the SALFA dissolved. I know you've mentioned that SALFA has been active again. But in the report it states that it dissolved, and of course SALFA was asked to consider why were they willing to accept money from a sponsor that discriminated against women's football team. Now my question is, would any other body, if a body has dissolved, can communicate or work with a body that is dissolved? And maybe that was part of the problem, why they didn't communicate. Then also on the equity agenda and equity, employment equity plan. If the status was the same with South Hawaii, has it changed? Because this report is, but also I'm not sure things have changed. And what is the status at the moment, if you do know? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I must just say, appreciate the report. Of course, it's a good report, as I know CGE. Although it's invisible in rural areas, we only know that there is Chapter 9 institution in CGE in town, not in rural areas. What we need to do as a committee is to support and ensure that all bodies rally their support behind women in sports. As the minister through EPG, we do have the EPG. The people who will be responsible for these transformation issues. Because I remember one time during budget time, we even raised that the EPG will name and shame those sporting bodies, the sporting codes, so they don't do the gender equality, gender, the transformation issues. But the LC will see that including the minister does tying his best to do this transformation. We always speak about this, always think about this. As a committee as well, we always think our slogan for these 5 years down the line, we are thinking about transformation, especially in rural areas. The question that I would love to ask you is that I can see in your slide, you have formulated questions to SALFA. They responded to those questions. And another thing, this SALFA, because all the soccer, we do have the Banyana, it belongs to SALFA. And this, is it the SALFA, are they standing as their own, or they are also belonging to SALFA? Because there's all the sporting body, I mean, we have the cricket, we have cricket South Africa, we have the rugby, we have the rugby South Africa, all the sporting, like the sporting coach, there is a body where they belong to. As the staff are rich, banana, banana. This alpha, they wanted they are standing at their own, or they wanted a membership to affiliate under SAPA, or they wanted to stand on their own, that they want to have other structures under the SAPA or what. And I can see that the CCE has jumped to this SAPA. We do have, we can see that gender equality, we are fighting as a sporting, as a committee for all sporting codes. And now it's soccer. We only know that there is banana, banana. We are happy they are doing there, they are playing there. And in our rural areas, we do have the women in force. Although the gender is not there, we are trying. So in force, I'm supporting what is, because you are our advisor as well, because you are advising the parliament, reporting some issues to us. So I'm taking this advice. As they've lost that complaint to you, and we are taking as it is. Okay, thanks, Chairperson.
Honorable Musa.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I'm sure the Commission is going to respond to what the Honorable Manana is talking about of your accessibility even in rural areas. But I'm just, you know, disappointed. Like you know, I always get disappointed when, you know, people speak about disability. That it is government institutions have a tendency of ignoring what is recommended when it is indicated that there should be 2%, you know, as a quota, people would bring 2 people. And I'm just, you know, disappointed of, you know, the three women or three females that you mentioned in the entire board of Sava. It's disgusting. But I must indicate that I'm also, you know, happy that you mentioned the department amongst your recommendations, because really it is the department that, you know, should also give, you know, should act as an exemplary. If you go to local clubs, you'll be shocked that, you know, girls, you know, that are gifted in soccer cannot find any local club that they can join. In actual fact, what they end up doing would be to join, you know, boys or men's club. And I must tell you, in that case, you know, they would always face, you know, a barrage of discrimination. That the girl who strong, you know, she's like a man, lesbian, you know, all those things. And then I'm saying that the department should also come in and encourage it at local level. I think the Department of Education Chairperson should also feature in here that it should acknowledge that there are girls in schools that are gifted in soccer, whose, you know, genetic makeup is purely female. Of course, nothing to do with gift, it's just the talent. The Department of Education should acknowledge that there are people like that, or children like that in their schools, and it should support it in their schools for the policy. But I find the Chairperson as well as would indicate to the Commission that you are a body established by the Constitution. You have powers, you have the power to subpoena, you have powers to recommend. I just want to check, what is it that you're going to do to ensure that the OSAFA is going to comply with the recommendations that you've made? And I'm glad that you every now and then indicate or mention oblige, you know. Do you have time frames? Do you have a yardstick? That after a particular period, you'll be saying, no, you did not do anything, you did not trust me. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Chairperson, I think the truth will get us where we want to. But going around the corners is not going to help. The women are not being serious in this country. That is true, which is not wanted the most. And then, why I'm saying this, it is happening all over the country, we know. But let's talk about this one specifically. We are talking about three similarities in the board. Three. I mean, where is this chorus of 50-50 and all these things? I mean, in this era of the current regime for more than 20 years, we're still talking of three women represented in the board. And again, let's look at the budget allocation. We know very well that money or the resources enable people to get where we want them to go. But if you are closing a type of money to those people, how do you think you'll improve? There's no way. Let's look at the budget allocation. Instead of 50-50 that we always hear the people singing about, here we are having 8-50.
We don't want it.
Here we see 8-50%. I mean really, what is SAFA or the department measuring the performance against in terms of gender equality? How are they doing? I mean really, this is not only a fail, it's embarrassment. 8-50 instead of 50-50. My take is, Chair, women are only remembered when people in power need some sort of support. Then after that they forget them. That's what is happening. We cannot massage mediocrity, my chair. Women are failed, and it is our time now that the issues of women are beginning to serious. My advice to the commission is that deal with the anti-women authorities as aggressive as you can, as far as the law allows you. Deal with them. And then we'll be there watching and protect where we can. I mean, the issue of salary, this one is the question, the issue of salary. Get us an average of figure on the difference between Banyana payments, salaries, and the Wafana salaries. Then we can talk of facts. What are you saying? Wafana are getting 4 times or 6 times what the Wafana Banyana are getting. Then we know what you're talking about. Then we can deal with these issues decisively and directly without any fear. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
sir. I think the first thing to welcome the presentation is it just shows the scale of gender equality, not only in this sport code, because in our previous engagement with all other sport codes, you know, the glaring patriarchy in it shows why there's been very little effort to address the issue of gender inequality in sport. But for the purposes of this report, I mean, it highlights a whole lot of other issues, but it goes to the root of institutional sexism and patriarchy. And this shows itself in attitudes, you know, the attitude in being unresponsive, the attitude in being reticent when approached for comment. And unfortunately, we never actually get to tackling all of these issues if we do not deal with dismantling the patriarchal and sexist attitudes that are so entrenched in these institutions. And the worst part about it is the female athletes do not have much of a recourse. You know, if a state entity like the Commission of Gender Equality has to react to a subpoena to get a mere response from SAVA, which, you know, delays any action, the female athletes are left with no recourse. And I think it's incumbent on us to provide whatever support that institutions like this need to get to the root of it, because transformation sport does not just speak about, you know, the male game on its own. It also speaks about, you know, the gender parity that is so visible in sport. But with regard to this sport, I mean, it exposes a trinity of us, starting with representation, resources, and remuneration. And the first part is, if you look at the representation, it's not just with the national executive staff. Go to the provincial structures, you'll see that it is even worse there. You know, those of us who are fortunate enough to be involved with the sport at a very localized level, you know, we see this all the time. And it's not simply because they are not female figures that are involved in grassroots in sport. It's because the environment is not conducive to gender equality in there. And it becomes increasingly difficult for those that have made the effort to make the change in the sport to continue carrying on. And the issue of resources, for me, it's a no-brainer, because when SAFA gets sponsorship, it does not care for male football. It gets for football in the country. And it gets for football in its entirety. So this whole justification that there is no sponsorship for female sports is in essence an obfuscation, an abdication of responsibility, because they do not go looking for sponsorship on the basis of we are a one gender dimension, you know. Bafana Bafana might be a lucrative product compared to Banyana Banyana, but the quest for sponsorship is for the interest of football development in the country. But even worse, it's more daring when you look at the resource allocation to the actual team, you know. The amount thrown into female teams for their own preparation is peanuts compared to what gets allocated to the male team. You know, and it was very frustrating to hear from the CEO that, you know, achieving equality does not necessarily mean taking over from, you know, the male sector to the female sector, but it's about the equitable distribution of resources so that we don't duplicate the same thing. But this is also useful in many ways. I mean, even if you look at the attire, for instance, that get allocated to referees, which is a component of SAFA, it's difficult to come across the referee gear that is designed for females. You know, they have to be overdressed in male gear because they design, like, simple things such as taking into consideration that they are female officials are not taken into consideration when stuff like, you know, attire is being designed. And the remuneration, I mean, you know, the remuneration is a constitutionally enshrined thing, that there shouldn't be any discrimination on the basis of people's gender. That we are talking about, you know, gender pay parity up to in 2015 itself, you know, shows how very little we have done in terms of genuine empowerment, you know, because, I mean, the information is out there in the domain. What Bafana Bafana earned for a draw, which is 30,000, compared to what Banyana Banyana earned for winning a match, which is 5,000. I mean, and we are talking about a sector that will probably have no alternative of revenue. You know, they don't get paid at their club because it's still not professional in that essence. And these are the others that either have to take, you know, unpaid leave from their work because the commitment for the national team associates that they exhaust their needs, and the risk of going into an environment where they get underpaid. And it goes to the issue of rewarding performance. You know, if we're talking about rewarding performance, we should really look at, you know, performance and even in the ratings, just continental rankings of Banyana Banyana versus Bafana Bafana. I mean, it's not even an embarrassment that, you know, they perform far better with little resources than our male counterparts who, and, you know, are very lucrative service at their club level. And there are very, like, simplistic things that the associations themselves can do. They're funding from government, for instance, that can be used to target those areas that are not addressed. But also, you know, it's a constitutional requirement. It's not whether they like it or not, or whether they are doing, you know, or gender equality a favor or not. It's a constitutionally enshrined value that it should be done. And I guess the challenge becomes what is to be done in, you know, light of all of these resistance to even constitutional provisions, because ultimately it comes down to that. How do we enforce constitutional values in institutions that neglect them, mean we
spend them?
I also welcome the report. My worry is that what is this South African Women's Football Association? Because in South Africa, so far, the body that regulates football is suffering. And SAFA got a relationship with FIFA. Sometimes we must not lose sight that these sporting bodies are developing. Some of the sporting codes will start as male-dominated codes. And then as time goes on, they end up females also coming in and participating. So it is important, particularly the Commission for Gender, to ensure that that context is not lost. Because as soon as the context can be lost, then we will end up in trouble even ourselves. The second point is that we need to be very, very careful. I mean, from where I'm sitting in the committee, that if there is a conflict within football or soccer, we need to be careful how we get involved. It is true, South African Women's Football Association launched a complaint, right? And that is how we ended up in the city. It's because of that, it's very easy that even SAFA can have a particular attitude on a basis of what they see themselves as here is this institutional body, a legal constitutional body. So I'm just reading that, and I hope you'll assist us, because from where I'm moving, it is clear that there is South African Women's Football Association. Even your presentation, you keep on saying, no, this body exists. It must exist. If it exists, it exists, but it must exist on the basis of who is the body that regulates football or soccer in South Africa. That must be our starting point. Because once we lose that, we are prone to make serious mistakes in our approach to this matter. The second point that I want to raise is that I'm not going to judge SAFA at the moment. Because if I can begin wanting to judge SAFA, I'll be biased. Because there are so many sporting bodies. Some of the sporting, if you take rugby for instance, it's untransformed. And quietly we are dealing with that. So for me, if we are to deal with gender representation, we need to do across. We must do across. You see? And judge all the codes equally.
Because, Honorable Madash, is right. We have met with bodies. We meet with bodies here. And we don't run to the media. Because the issue that we are dealing with, transformation. And transformation is not only in terms of Africans. It's broad, the way it's multidimensional. The way we are dealing with it now, it's multidimensional. And we are scientific in dealing with it. But it will be wrong to just pick up on spots, pick up that spot, pick up that spot, and then arrive at the conclusion. My last point really is that, you see, Commission for Gender Equality is a statutory body, and we respect it. We respect it. So, and you've got powers to do what is correct. The point that I'm making is that from where I'm speaking here, I don't want to pronounce on this, but I'm saying, let's ensure that we are not seeing unless you can explain, because I really want to understand what is the South African Women's Football Association. Does it exist? What is its relationship with SAFA? So that we don't create something that will come to bite us tomorrow. And I'm not saying women must not have their own association. I'm not saying that. All that I'm saying is that we need to ensure that we must create, because you see, if the same thing is going to happen here, tomorrow we should expect the same thing, cooking, rugby, cricket, and so on and so on and so on. Because in terms of the way the dispensation is current, you see, the codes are represented by particular associations. It's not 10 associations. It's a struggle, quite a struggle. In some instances, that the others would want that because we are women, we should have equal status to suffer. So if we want to say that is the correct thing to do, we must say so, but at the moment, SAFA is the body. And the same thing with other sporting codes. If I'm wrong, I'm doing this with all humility to the constitutional creation, because this thing was created by us. And so far, from where I'm coming, we're leading in terms of ensuring that we fight for women. That is why even our representation is high in this institution that we are sitting at the moment. We are the ones that are leaders when it comes to this matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Rada Khom. I'm thanking ECG to come, but I've got questions. With the slide that I wanted is similar to what Honorable Rada Khom. When I was reading one of your these are not numbered, it is evident that SAWAFA does exist. SAWAFA was urged to meet with the structure within 3 months to take the process of registering SAWAFA forward. And then the other one is saying that it was noted from the hearing that the SAFA claimed that SAWAFA was disbanded. They said that it has resurrected indicates that there is a problem and SAFA need to intervene. And I wanted to check a similar question like honorable. And then the one is mediation process was initiated between SAFA and SAWAFA, but the Commission was not satisfied with the response obtained from SAVA. Initially, I was going to ask why Usawafa not coming to the committee. And when I'm reading these pages, I'm suspecting as if Usawafa is not recognized. If it was something recognized, they're supposed to come and put this problem of themselves. But with the 50-50, as this committee are complaining in so many bodies that are coming to us, the representation of women is not there, let alone those who have the clubs, the women that are forming their clubs. If this is a WAFA, it's a body that's supposed to be recognized. Why in these three pages I'm reading this? And I wanted to check that 6GE, I'm suspecting you are obliged that USAFA must comply with this recommendation that you have recommended. But what is this WAFA? Is it a registered body? And why in these pages we're getting that sometimes it must be registered and the process is still with USAFA? What is this body exactly and what is of their role? And with the 50-50, I've seen that you have written about it, Beijing. Some of us, we know what you mean, but one step in the investigation of this SAWAFA, in order that you must deal with something that we know, even if we can, I'm not saying we will be doing, even if we can call USAFA to explain to us if it is necessary. But first and foremost, I'm not clear whether it's a body which is recognized. If not, one will handle it according to that. Okay?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. No, I'm just trying not to reconcile the issue of 50-50 and sexism. Because you are women, then now you should play separately alone. Or perhaps because you don't have enough, you're not physically fit enough, then you cannot mix with men. Then you should be separated. Then now, perhaps this is a discrimination that now these women should play alone. Because sporting code is a sporting code. If it is football, it is football. Then the team with 50-50 should settle and play. Then if it is boxing, should play. I'm trying to reconcile these two issues. If someone can just help me, it's just coming to my mind. It's 50-50 and settling. What does it mean? Thank you very much.
I don't want to respond to you, but you're supposed to know what 50-50 means. Yes. You were here when we said this is not transformation. But we grew up, as I was trying to tell you, that we were just nonetic as women. And that's why we were fighting for the recognition of women. Was saying in all structures of department or of government, we need to see women participating in higher positions in whatever. That's the 50-50 that a member of parliament must fight for, even in your organization, let alone that we don't have... No, listen to me. Even in your organization, you're supposed to have 50-50. Let alone governing rooms when things are in the car. That's why we have the 50-50 champion. Thank you so
much. Who you chapter? I want you to do that anyway. What I want to know is the reconciliation between the two issues.
Of chairperson. And then go chairperson power. I'm going to chairperson. I didn't want to answer for you, but I was saying that the member doesn't know what we want when we say 50-50. And our feelings that the question that we cannot ask, we need to enforce that 50-50 must always be there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I think you're allowing us to respond. And I think that the first question from our honourable member is Gender Equality 101, because it speaks about the issue of gender vis-a-vis sex, and how do you bring in the issue of 50-50, and I think there is a question that I had 3 weeks ago in Mpumalanga that a pastor was presiding over a funeral service, and it was the time for thrown back to the soil and then stopped and said, all women must come now and feel the grief. So, what was saying, 50-50, come, feel the grief. Those are the issues that then can be placed together. But all these issues are related to the issues of biology, the issues of sex and so on, and makeup and so on. But it doesn't mean that by doing that, women are weak and they cannot play with men and so on. But I think those are critical issues. I think the issue of 50-50 also come in and so on. And then there has been the socialization of men and women and the roles that a society we attract to both men and women. Now there's an LGBTI community which is coming in gender chores. So the space is becoming more and more muddled in terms of how we should actually explain some of these things. I think, Chair, these are things that we cannot always explain in 1 or 2 minutes. It's something that we always need engagement with various scholars. I'm going to ask the 2 questions, and the legality issues that the honourable member raised, and I think we're going to give it to our legal committee, our legal group, in terms of how we arrive at a point where we should actually investigate this matter. But the question has been asked about the legal status of Sahufa is a legal question. But I think it's important to respond to the second last speaker as well, my honourable, around the issue of picking up on other institutions and not others. And I think I've mentioned when I prefaced our presentation that it was because of the complaint that we received. And I know the issues around investigation, interlinkages around the issues of sex, gender, race in class, and how all this they play themselves together. But we also appreciate that the ministry has its own mechanism in terms of dealing with transformation and the reports that the minister is occasionally releasing. So I think we must just urge the committee to ensure that those reports must also be robust on gender equality issues and women empowerment. Because on top of transformation is also success, but we request that. It's important for us to actually see a transformation in other issues. I'll answer to the debate, but I also want to answer Honorable Manana and the other Honorable around the issue of CGE rural disability. And how painful the institution has been trying our best to ensure that we're visible throughout the country. If you see our reports, our reports, they could actually speak to this. Even in a report in the portfolio committee now, we even indicate in the areas on which we visited as a committee, in the rural areas, in the townships, and so that people could have a spread of where we come from. I'll give you a good example. A woman who was an albino in KZN was killed. Only CGE went there. When you ask the newspapers, they say, we're too far. We can't go there. So can you give us reports when you come back from the particular area? So it shows the extent on which SCG, from Sadalang to KZN, is like driving from Durban to Joburg, but we're still in the same province. But this is what we do. So we try our best using community radio stations. In now we have a program called Lake and Clinic. So we go to communities. We've been in Merha in the Eastern Cape. Next week we'll be going to Sanin. And so on. So we were trying our best, but we have 9 provincial offices as a commission. Those offices be able to map out the province and everything. Of course, we can't be everywhere. We work with China. We've signed a memorandum of understanding with different House of Christian leadership in the provinces, in the Eastern Cape, in the Bombo and so on. We're able to work with communities in the rural areas. We address these complaints. Most of our complaints also come from the rural areas, which indicates that we've got them. I think if we can, even during the Women's Month, we've been in almost all the radio stations, and for us we are consistent in terms of actually educating the public through radio stations, community radio stations, and also the main radio stations in TV as well. Parallel to the Oscar Pistorius case, there was a woman who was actually shot by her husband more than 10 times, and after the left her daughter was dead. With God's grace, the woman survived. That case, because that then is a powerful man was rich and so on, been tried for 7 years. It's actually you picked up, there are so many others, I'm just taking one case. It's actually you have gone to the prosecutor and said, can you find out this case has been picking for so long? Because of that, our intervention is actually that case has been actually finalized and the man has been convicted in the rural area. So that's what we do in terms of even a program of monitoring cases in the rural area. Yes, it can't be everywhere. And we need some complaints and some people to actually assist us, actually meet us, where are these cases. But there are so many issues here, but what I will do is that because we are about to release our annual report, I'll ask our financial officer, once the annual report is released, to actually give it to so you can distribute it. I know that you get it through the normal parliamentary processes, but I think it will just give you, because in that report it also indicates where CG has been. And I can safely say, with the our lifespan of 18 years of CG, we have been, I think, 80-90% of all the areas in South Africa. So but I think the annual report for 2014-2015 is going to give us. I think it's not enough. And the other issue, Chairperson, is the issue of the budget. Last year, for example, which I think one of my students assist us, our budget was cut by 4 million. And those issues, those matters will always impede on how we actually go out and do the work as a commission. So the limitations we always encounter. So there are so many issues that have been raised. I don't want to answer all those issues, Chair. I will just go like this. I'll ask the deputy chair to respond to some, and then I will also check on the issues that have been raised as well, and then see whether we've been able to respond to all the issues. But I think the questions are so robust, and the issues force us to think about our own strategies and commission on how we actually look in some of these things in terms, in terms of investigation. So we really, really appreciate the questions and the suggestions that you give us. You are a member of parliament, the city is accountable to parliament, and when we are here, as well as much as we are presenting on this, we also know that COVID is also accountable to you as members of parliament. So let me share with your permission, give the deputy chair if there's an issue that she wants to raise, and then I will ask most especially the secretary to respond on the legality of this matter, and then other members will also respond, and then first back to the chair.
Thanks very much to the honourable members. I just wanted to also respond to the issue of SAUFA, who are they? At the hearing, the report will make it clear. These are soccer players, most of them are in townships, rural areas. They organize themselves around sport. But remember, transformation is a long journey. And therefore, they have always wanted to promote soccer for women. And it was long, even long before Banyana was an organized structure. If you look back at her person, even Banyana is a very new concept. So these are people who really had an interest in sport. And when we were doing this hearing, it became very clear that SAFA had not taken them seriously because they are NGO-ish. just people who come together using their own resources, they organize around the play soccer with plastic balls, things like those, and then they organize themselves. And they went to SAFA and said to SAFA, SAFA, how can you help us promote girls soccer and promote soccer? So the issue of Banyanya Bayana is almost an additional to the bigger picture of how to promote soccer in South Africa. And I think that's the context when I see this. So I'm not surprised it dies, because most NGOs, if you use your own money, at some point it will die. But at this hearing, there were agreements that were made with SAFA. And those agreements included them sitting together and saying, how can we seriously take these concerns that are raised around access to resources by clubs at local level and at professional level, because we wanted to make sure that complaint helps in the transformation of SAFA. And there were agreements that were reached. That is why we were a bit disappointed when we're not now getting responses. But part of that could very well be that SAFA then had new leadership and so on. But our letters after they were been asking for the intermediate view of saying, how can we make sure that women in soccer are taken seriously? And so I think that's very important to remember. They SAFA did not necessarily say they don't want to work with them. I think they just didn't take them seriously because they were a bit of an irritation, I think. In terms of the representativity in SAFA, indeed, we can say having one additional woman in the big SAFA structure is something to celebrate. But all we say as a Commission for Gender Equality is that the state signed up to protocols, and amongst the protocols that the state signs up is that everyone who is a citizen of this nation must ensure in any structure, be it business, be it traditional, this is why the traditional bodies also have their own quotas, is to say, let us all work towards ensuring that the 50% principle applies. So that's why I really wanted to have a conversation with us. We are still insisting, still writing, to try to find that space where we can see. Since 2012, which is when the report was written, what has happened? Because we also want to hear that from SAFA. We don't want to hear from hearsay, but we want to hear from SAFA to say, since we last met, this is what is it. Unfortunately, we have not had that opportunity of having the meeting. It is true. For things like hearing, they were even talking, I mean, they did respond and we asked them questions about, so, do you train your referees in the same way you train the other referees? You could see that they're getting some, but they made commitments. They really made commitments that they will try to transform. So we wanted also a follow-up. We wanted to formally table and discuss and assist them where they need our assistance in terms of how they can deal with other issues. Because it's a reality that where resources are scarce, the tendency to forget the transformational issues, including the 2% that Honourable Member was talking about. We did ask even those questions. Okay, in sport, people who want to be involved in sports who are disabled, how do you make sure that they are mainstreamed in soccer? And those are some of the questions we really wanted to ask them. So I think that we'll have to follow up again to take the South facilities, because they were there physically. And SAFA did not say to us, they don't want to take these recommendations. They don't recognize them. No, they didn't say that. They said we will sit and talk.
Any other additions?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members, for the responses. I'll just try to run, for the questions, I'll just try to run through some of the questions that were raised. I think Honourable Abrams started first, and you raised an issue around a concern that the report is dated 2012, and why is it only coming to the committee now?
I think, Chair, that's for Parliament to be able to call us. What we do as a commission is to put together a report and then engage with Parliament by sending them to Parliament and then hoping to get a call so that we can engage. And I think it's one of the processes that the current OISD office is really trying to do, which is why we really welcome the fact that we've been called to appear before this particular committee in this particular Parliament. As far as the question relating to whether employment equity plan of SAFA, at a point when we engaged with SAFA, one of the questions, and the questions are in the report, we put the actual questions that the committee put forward, and we've also put the responses at the back of the report. They did not have an employment equity plan at all. So that's one of the things that we've been trying to call them back. One of those issues is to really try and get a sense of whether indeed they have been able to then come up with a plan and whether they are really on course in ensuring that that plan is also taken forward. And so I think, Honourable Manana, that also responds to your question whether SAFA responded to the questionnaire that we had. If you look at about page 12 or so of the report, we just put those questions and the responses that we received. But obviously at the employment equity hearing, the actual hearing, there were several questions that we put forward and then several responses that we responded, which were not necessarily documented. And Honourable Musi, you will also see that as we engage on this hearing, part of what we also look into, it's not just gender mainstream, we also look into the issue of disability. And it was very concerning from our side as well to see that SAFA did not respond at all as far as the issue of disability is concerned. We did not get anything that was provided as far as that is concerned. So we therefore concluded that it probably is one of those that is lacking and they are still not recognizing even the little 2% that has been put forward by the state. In terms of budget allocation, Honourable Muteka, we at this point we do have something that shows us that, for instance, for each match that is being played, that women get 5,000 and men get 60,000. And it's also the basis of the complaints that we are dealing with currently with here in our Western Cape office. And we have been really trying to engage with SAFA so that we can really confirm that those numbers are correct. And they haven't come forward for it. So at this stage, the information that we have is that women are getting 5,000 for each match and men get 60,000. I think some of the issues were comments, and Honourable Malachi, I think nobody could have put it better. We will next time co-opt you to be our agenda activist. Everything that you just put forward as far as these issues are concerned, I think it's very true, and some of the things that we really need to engage seriously as a country, say what are we doing and are we really serious about this particular issue. Honourable Radikoma, I think as the deputy chair has highlighted, SAUSA is there and it's an organization that is in place. In our hearing, SAFA was very clear to say there are specific requirements that SAUSA would need to then put forward, fill in and put some information forward so that they can be in a position to recognize them. And this has been done. The information has been forwarded, and part of what we needed to check was what then is the problem that perhaps SAFA is having in terms of them then not recognizing SAUSA having received the required information. Remember as well that before this particular process,
There were also other commitments that were made in 1997 and in 2000 during sports interviews and all that, which related to the specific bodies, and which suffered against specific obligations. And our take as the CGE is, they themselves have found to say, these are the things that you, South Farmers, do for us to be able to recognize you. And if those things are not done, I think it's difficult for us to then say that, you know, unless SASSA comes forward and says, these are the real reasons why we cannot recognize SAUFRA, it becomes a little bit difficult. I think the chair also responded in terms of the issue of the other 14 codes, so I will not get into that. I've tried. Is there anything else that I've left?
Sorry, Honourable Chair, I think the one aspect the Honourable Member and some also made mention of that the report ought to be, you know, cutting across. I think, precisely because this is not this isn't a general inquiry, but a specific investigation into a specific complaint, we have to confine, this report is confined to that particular complaint. It couldn't be broadened to look at other sports codes because that was not before the commission. I just want to make that point.
So, I remember that when I'm looking at my notes, even though I probably didn't finish, I see that you had something to say around Beijing. We do have reports, and I think one of the Beijing is one of those instruments that have got specific critical areas of concern, also specific areas that relate to institutional mechanisms for the advancement of women is one of the critical concerns, and I think it's one of the important critical area for this particular process that we are undertaking here. We do have two reports on CEDAW that we have also lodged with this parliament. We have a report with Beijing as well, that's on for action, that we have lodged with this parliament. And really, in those reports, we are trying to show how far the country is on those specific obligations and responsibilities that we have signed for in those two instruments. Thanks, Chair.
Well, I was just observing, telling other members that those reports are very important, that whenever we're talking about the gender issues and the quality, we need to read. And we're not that bad as South African government on that. But as we're saying, that gaps are there and cannot all of us know. But the problem that I'm seeing and I'm hearing, you said the CEO is still doubting whether this tower is still existing. But if you're doubting, why did you come to us, and where are you going to report back if by nature who are advising? You said so, and it was not only myself that you said that. Because the problem is that if USAFA is not responding to you and to themselves, this process, is it a futile exercise or really? Because some of us, we need to see this thing happening, the problem of gender equality and this 50-50, we're from 30% fighting for this, not only in the government side, even in these clubs, information, we're not yet there, and you are not wrong, but with these people whom we are presenting them here, we need to understand their plight as what is speaking now. Are not here or still there, and if USAFA didn't respond to you, you do come here that you want us to know that we have such a case, and maybe with us as a committee, we do appreciate that it's one of the jobs to look at the issues of gender. And I'm suspecting we'll take it there as a committee digest and we'll sit as a committee and we'll see what are we going to do about this investigation and the report from you, but are still there, these people.
Yes, thank you, Chair. SAOPA is there. It is in it. It is existing. I don't know what it is that I have said that probably made. They do exist. And we have also even, we have been engaging with them, and we have received the information that they have then forwarded to SAFA in response to some of the resolutions, which is why we were trying to then get SAFA on board to then check to say, where is the problem, the information or the requirement as per yourself, because if you look into their constitution, I think their constitution is very clear in admitting that there can be an application that gets done or put before SAFA for recognition. And they've given that information, and therefore what we were requiring is really to get a sense from SAFA whether they felt the requirements are not met or what the problem is, and the issue is they are not coming to party at this stage. Honorable Rahul.
No, okay, we will just have to do our work, but the point that we were making really is that you see the bodies that are there, like SAFA, so far is the one that regulates soccer. So there will be others. So we need to ensure that those other bodies need to understand that, so that if there's a problem of non-recognition, if we want to get involved, it is either that must be the case, but I was saying maybe we might have to find out ourselves. Maybe we can assist, because you see we there are so many bodies, even within Athletics South Africa, that others want to be recognized outside of Athletics South Africa, whereas for Athletics is that partner that is regulated, or is the body that we is responsible for Athletics. So I'm just saying we need to be very, very careful, because you might find that somehow because even your contradictions, the deputy chair said no, it looks like it doesn't exist, and then the CEO, because you does work on a daily basis, says no, they are there. So on the basis of that, you might find that even SAFA have arrived at the conclusion that no, because it's a serious matter if and then we open and then SAFA is in trouble now. But we'll just have to see how do we ensure that we close that gap ourselves, so that it is clear that we don't have confusion. Because once there can be confusion in the voting body that we deal with, it means even ourselves we are vulnerable, because we do oversight on the department, and the department is responsible to deal with all of these bodies. To a certain extent, you must understand that the money, the finance, the taxpayer's money end up going to SAFA. That is why we hold them to account. You understand? Because like now we have presented, we are going to say to them, we got this thing. How do you understand? We are going to get their side of the story. You see? So we are not just asking the thing. Because you see, you can't tell us this and then that is the end of the story. We are going to say no, but what is this SAOPA thing? Where is it? Why are you not recognizing them? And we also want to know what type of a creature is SAOPA. If it's an activist advocacy body, we must understand where they are moving.
So that is the point really. But we do appreciate your work.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chairperson, we must just give a clarity to our colleagues that the sulfur they're talking about, it's part of their job for investigation and doing the research. They must thoroughly research about the sulfur that is disaffiliated, because the sporting bodies, sometimes they don't even fund the individual, because if they can fund the individual who are not affiliated, each and every household, one person can just say, now I've got soccer, I want to be sponsored by maybe Sportscop as individual, while they are not even affiliated. We have got this sports confederation, because each and every province has got the regional sports confederation, provincial, up until to the national level. These sports confederations, the sports confederations at the regional level, they know about all the sporting codes because they are affiliated. So I think maybe if we can just do that, we will do that even on our side, because I think through the Chatterton, maybe when we call SAFA, we'll get the other part of this story about SAFA. What happened about SAFA? Do they know about SAFA? Maybe we can get even the story that SAFA is not just a body that is standing as their own. They are not affiliated anywhere else. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, Honorable Mutesa, Honorable Malak.
Thank you, Chair. I think we are losing focus a little bit because we are making this SAFA the main issue of JPL now. And I think the SAFA must be investigated to one side. I mean, even beyond this meeting, whether it is a legitimate organization or whatever, but from what I heard from the CEO, it seems they are not even trying to compete with SAFA. They want to be under SAFA. But anyway, it's not something that is the main issue on the table. The main issues on the table are very sensitive issues that are affecting women in South Africa. And I see some members are really moving away from those issues and sticking only to this SAFA thing, and now it becomes the top of the show. Because I have my colleague, Mr. Ralph Homer, he warning us to be careful and other things, and also saying the issue of transformation affects all our bodies. Today we are dealing with the complaint that was presented, the complaint from a woman. And that's why SAFA is your discussion. We are not just dealing on SAFA. When we were dealing with SARU, rugby, we dealt with it decisively, aggressively, and no one wanted us to be careful because they feel us. Each and every sporting code will come, and then we're going to deal with them. So allow us today to deal with SAFA, because the complaint of SAFA. Thank you.
No, well, the point that I was making, you see, if SAFA is here, and we deal with SAFA here, it's a correct story. We can't deal with SAFA through Commission for Gender Equality. It's a difference. The point that I was making is that we deal with all federations, and then we judge them on the basis of their direct presentation. That is why I'm saying you can't say I'm out of order by making that point.
I wanted to correct that we have adopted, that means we are appreciating what Sisi is saying about the women issues. Not that we have to blame one another, about that this woman or this Saufa, we just wanted to do this investigation so that we support them, correctly so that this is an affiliated, you must have the whole information. Because really, even if there are some stakeholders who come in here, we always talk about the gender equity. But on this CGE, we never mention about the gender because we can see the balance. I was even counting you. I've seen that there are women, oh, this is good, this is what we want. That is why we never even mention about that. But the SAUFA, we have just raised this because we are not even sure about their affiliation and the issue of women. We are supporting that 100% that we are fighting for women, as women as well. Thank you.
Sir, I'm expecting a protection from you. Because I was not finished and then
there's no protection about it. When you are speaking and then people raise the order, I must give them. You were protected because I said, please wait, there are those two hands. I was protecting you in order that they must say if you are out of order. So now I'm giving you back a privilege here for that.
Thank you. Let me finish. The reason why we're talking of SAUFA is because SAUFA is mentioned by the presentation. You see? So we cannot really say because SAUFA is not there now, we're not going to mention anything about SAUFA. They will come where they will also talk for themselves. But today, they are mentioned here, we can't just ignore anything about SAUFA now because they are not here. Thank you very much.
I didn't want to cut you. I didn't hear anyone say that SAUFA was not mentioned. I must correct you. I'm listening and I'm sharing. No one said SAUFA was not mentioned. The CGE, they are here because of SAUFA, who didn't even respond to themselves. It's black and white. So we cannot not mention SAUFA. I didn't hear anyone saying that we must not mention SAUFA. We were saying that this problem, it's country-wise, this problem of gender, and it's not only SAUFA. SAUFA wanted us to clarify where are they are still there, and SAUFA didn't respond to SAUFA and to the commission. So by saying that, no one can say that don't mention SAUFA. Why? Honorable,
thanks, sir. And maybe I understood this differently. I think the question on the legitimacy or status of SAUFA, for me, is not an issue at all, because even from SAUFA's responses in here, it highlights, you know, the recognition of that body. But over and above that, I think the essence of this report is in its findings and the recommendations. And what should inform our next course of action is what's going to be done with regards to those recommendations. And perhaps more importantly is what has happened subsequent to the completion of the recommendations, because this is now 3 years later to the date of the finalization of the report. Have there been any engagements whatsoever, first on the part of the commission to check or assess the implementation of the recommendations, and to do its own assessment of, you know, what happened subsequent to our actions? Because I think, you know, the reality of the issue is that, you know, these findings have revealed very certain revelations, and action needs to be taken with regard to those findings. And the issue of, you know, the status of the body, you know, notwithstanding its status, the issues remain, and those are the issues that reflect the reality with the issues that affect women's football and what has been done subsequent to that. Because I don't think our attitude towards the lack of gender equality, you know, has changed simply because it's a different body. I think we, you know, and I speak for myself, that we've been consistent in holding whichever body has come here, all findings being presented regarding their slow pace or lack of pace with regard to gender inequality, and that we shouldn't be distracted by, you know, the technical aspect of whether a body is legitimate or not, but to deal with the essence of what the report presents. And what course of action and recourse can we initiate with regard to the non-implementation of those recommendations and the action subsequent to the submission of those recommendations?
Thank you. Honorable Malazi and the rest, thank you. I've been informed that really this issue has been presented in another committee which was not our concern. That's why the thing is old. The OCPA said it was presented previously, and now it's been coming to us for the first time. We need to be given chance, you know. Illegality of Usabafa or not, we're saying that they got a right if they are fighting for women, but we want to get to the bottom of why USAF is not recognizing them. And even your good self is that's what made you to come here, because we are not having your responses. We once had something called Umtata Netball. When we wanted to affiliate to SANA before unbanning, it was just an issue even then. So I'm suspecting that we are all in the same car, and we are saying, because you did come to us with this investigation, we need to be given a chance to see what can we do as the committee. So everyone wanted to put here or have you. There's no one is saying that you're not supposed to come here. This WAFA is not responsible for women. But the procedure of USAFA, we know that is a body which are representing ISOCA. And then any other people standing for ISOCA, we need to share USAFA whether they do have reservation to have USAFA to present these women. So I'm suspecting that the only thing we cannot run away to talk about USAFA. USAFA, according to UCG, they are seeing them as a culprit that doesn't want to have hearing from USAFA. So we're going to talk about this stuff because we know as this committee that USAFA will represent the ISOCA bodies and call. If now there is other women that they wanted that must be recognized, in recognition, we need to hear USAFA, why are they not recognizing them? And we're not saying that CGE, you are going to come here, but in clarity, we cannot say, no. We've heard your side of story, and it's in black and white. We see how are we going to engage with USAFA, especially this thing. It's having years and years. Here we are, we take it up. By those words, I'm saying that keep it up with a good work, because immediately that is about the gender issues. We have you that we know that we have got an office. Anyone can come and appeal to you. So I wanted to clear this thing that those who are arguing of us, they have got a right to argue in whatever angle. But the main thing is that we need to see women recognized. But there's this body that officially we know that it's looking after the body, USAFA. They're supposed to affiliate. Let's hear USAFA, why are not recognizing? And we are going to take from there. With those words, we always appreciate that you must come, not only when you have a case, but we do appreciate whenever we want you to come, and we'll welcome the report that they are saying it's on pipeline, we'll read, because we don't all sit in the multi-department caucus where everything is there. You were always coming and briefing that committee. We are now sports, but still have a role to any committee of parliament when you got things like this. With those words, I'm saying thank you so much. I'm expecting it to be assisted everyone, clarified why I'm here. I tell you. Our third item in the agenda.
Can I try releasing her?
Yes. Oh, I'm very sorry. No, can't be.
But, an honorable member, thank you very much. And we hope that, and I say that these are transformed honorable members. They understand the end of the transformation. And we hope that all the bodies that come before you will always ask this gender-related question to assist us in the transformation of South Africa. We really appreciate the invitation.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Honorable member, Honorable Manano, the Mpumalanga, the CEO, once I was a chief whip in the you know, Moscow SOP, that we are dealing with Section 76, and each province has got his or her chief whip or the whip of the province. I was accused, but that you cannot say anything about the Eastern people, and the whip will be just listening tended to the anyway. Aware that they must give me anything that I must raise in Parliament. I was jealous of my province. So I've seen when somebody here, Umanan cannot finish anything not referring to her province. But it's right. She is here because it's in Mpumalanga. With a lighter note, okay. Consideration of committee report on oversight risks to Eastern Cape and South East. That's number three. Pardon me, I was not present. I did get a report from my whip that you were done with this report, but not today. I see it again. Oh, it's consideration of it. Honorable Rakom, I was not around to say something about this.
No, Kat, we went through the report today to adopt it, because we did make some minor amendments with regard to the recommendation. In particular, we did say we need to have the second part, because we gave an impression there that they must submit. So we felt that we will also deal with the second part of their submission separately. But in terms of the concrete recommendations, the key recommendations that we made, which is quite key, was that with regard to what has transpired there, it was the view of the House that we should request the presence of the Minister and DSA at their possible availability to come so that they can explain to us some of the problems, particularly with regard to the two the two ANCs, yeah. But I think if it is written in that manner, maybe we should allow the content advisor to just take us through the recommendations that we made. Because we did make concrete recommendations, because we felt that we can't just say no, we are not that. So we must submit this report, and then the other one will follow it.
Thank you, Honorable Homa. Honorable members, that's a report that some of us hearing for the first time. So I've heard that all content advisors must read those recommendations, order that members adopt something that they know they've said.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just trying to get the copy that we have made amendments to. It seems that the first copy that you have here does not. Yes, but there was a specific one as well that members would have made that we need to make specific recommendations to the minister such that he's able to act on certain matters without necessarily having to reduce the point of emphasis where matters are in other departments or with regard to other departments. So I do not see that copy which I made the comment with you. May I ask that we defer the matter of the report to the next meeting because we did make those changes there.
Honourable members, we are here from our office that we want to defer for this report because we want to adopt your report that you know what you have said and it must be on paper. Let's defer for the 22nd that they must, even before that, they must actually issue a report in order that when members come, they know what is it, whether your discussion are presented correctly. I'm proposing that, Honourable Members.
We need to
adopt a report which is written black and white, especially that you were trying to modify some other I'm suspecting we need to have a code of whatever in order that we must read and we see that this is a true reflection of what you have said, go and do it. Siyami Kole, Devantama. We have a set of minutes, Honourable Members, 25, 26, and 26 February and 1st, the 25th of August, let's go to page 1. Page 2, Honourable.
I'm complaining here. You can't just say it all. I'm going to say an apology. So that would be corrected. Each and every time. Then such after the difference, I'm still responsible. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dad.
So we did correct that because it was raised in the last meeting that it should be specific.
Okay, point taken, Honourable Man. Page 2. Page 3. Page
page 4. Page 5. Page 6.
Thank you, sir. Page 3 on the 25th August, on the concerns of committee. Number 2, I don't know, maybe I misunderstand the English. The DPE budget for school sports and its struggle. Well, I think we must correct the sentence. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know which struggle, who's supposed to implement the school sports. The DPE budget for school sports, I think maybe it was supposed to be written, they struggle to implement instead of an each struggle, number 2. I don't know if someone can see that. Page 3, number 2, on the concern of committees. Number 2, the DPE budget for school sports and its struggle to implement. I think let's not correct the sentence. Yeah. Thank you.
I think a member is reading that in partial because it starts with the concerns of committee. Members express concerns about the DPE budget for school sport and its struggle to implement the school sport in the provinces. So I think it does. So it's written just in bullet form. It's fun that Chris is a member.
I was in page 6. Very this page is intimidating to me. That's why Otem was laughing. The 684. Oh, the National Department. Number 7. Number 8. Number 9. It's part of this show resolution. It's not part of the meaning here. I'm not a member. Let me check with the members. What has arisen started from page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Page 9 and page 10. Adoption of the minutes. Mm-hmm.
I move.
The record. My lad, next time I want you to come and sit next to these two members. We must divide them. My nana and the Ustu do what? They are intimidating me. I need a protection. Any second of the minute, I'm going to South Africa.
No, sir, I think we must share with you because we are not here. Last week I was just complaining that the members, they must learn to second and they must adopt them and move. Because always it's here in Malawi, we are not here. We don't want our name to see so tiny. We are on the paper that we don't do anything in the committee. We just support you. We adopt minutes. We move motion. That's it. Always we are on the minutes of adopting and seconding. So,
I can't see anything wrong. If others are not jumping, you always jump, two of you. You must jump higher and higher. Honorable members, 1st of September. I do not accord with
I just need clarity from a procedural point that, I mean, on this particular set of minutes, shouldn't the Honorable Ralahoma presiding over them, given your absence on the day for the 1st of September?
There's no reason why an instrument or document cannot be presided over by a chief person who needs to get this and what is it.
According to myself, I'm suspecting that I must not partake and to meet the Bay Area what they are asking. But if you need responding, I was not going to have any problem. But if she thinks that there is no problem, I was going to give it over to Honorable Radhom. What do you say, Honorable Members? Do you want me to give to himself?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Today is correct. You can't propose or adopt in can't participate, but you can as chairperson. Proceed. Thank you.
Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Matters arising, page 1. Page 2. Page 4. Page 5. in the last page. Page 6. No. It's only page 5. Honorable Abraham.
Thank you, Jefferson. Just the title on page 5. The last paragraph on the date, August 2015. Thank you.
Honorable members, can you move up? Honorable Abraham, move the adoption of minutes. The second, Honorable Reform.
We're also continuing now. Now, Abraham and Radok. This is going for the Honorable Malak and Manan.
Honourable members, there's this circulation of short-term program projects. The take us the level.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable members. We are on the verge of the end of the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter. So I realize that we never had time to discuss this at micro level about the next step program. But there's not really nothing first that we can propose changes to this program. But in principle, this program is made in line with the ACP that the committee adopted at the beginning of this term, the financial year. So items raised here are that first items that members have raised where we saw that we need to prioritize moving forward. And so we are left with only 2 weeks, and in that 2 weeks there are a number of meetings that are to be attended. We started today. Tomorrow will be, we have requested a slot for completion of the interview processes for members to serve on the appeal, Fabria appeal board. So that meeting is scheduled for tomorrow. The interviews are continuing tomorrow at 8 o'clock. We are starting. We have 4 candidates who have been booked. They'll be there tomorrow. So if members can avail themselves as well for that. So hold that to the question of now making recommendations. Now, there are, we ought to be reporting for to the House by the 23rd about the outcome of that process. What we have done is to request a separate slot where we can, members can deliberate on the recommended candidates to the House. And that slot, we expect, you know, the date of the 23rd of September. Next week we will not be around. It will be provincial oversight week. And so the following week, on the 22nd, we have a meeting. But after that, on the 23rd, Wednesday, we requested a separate slot where we can, member can engage on the recommendations for the members. We are hoping that also that should be on a special request for that. On the 15th, from that week, next week, Monday until Friday, we'll be on oversight in KZN. 22nd, we come back for the quarterly report, which was postponed for last week, of the department, but also to consider the report of the petitions, the members' recommendations, but also the report of the CGE. So we'll be looking at those three items next week. So we do not want to peg this meeting much. We have postponed the meeting of the whole of HOCHI, specifically for the quarterly report and these two outstanding reports. It will also include the report that we just said now of the oversight. So that will be the fourth item when we come back on the 23rd. On the 22nd. So the following day, therefore, the 23rd of September, making that consideration of the appeal board
deliberations, not the consideration. Because deliberations, we might as well consider if all the deliberations can be completed on the same day. And therefore, we'll also brief members about the process of the BRRR that is upcoming as and when we come back from the constituency, which will start on the 28th of September until the 12th of, in fact, the constituency period, post the constituency period, that starts on the 28th of September to the 12th of October. And so the principle, the idea that we hear today is just to look briefly and adopt the fourth term report. And to see that, the third term program, you see that when we come back on the 13th of October, we are expected to be briefed on the annual report by FRSA, but also by the Office of the Auditor General with regard to the outcomes of that particular report for the entities and departments, SAFE and Boxing South Africa. But also because we would have, our last meeting would have been on the presentation of the first quarterly report. We will also be looking there at the consideration of the first quarterly report. So it's going to be a very packed program on the day. The permission will request for a full day meeting so that we are able to go through that. It's important that these instruments are adopted as and when they are available so that we don't miss the time. But also we hope that by that time we would have finished with the report for the oversight, because we want to include it on the day for the meeting as well, so that it be deliberated upon, the oversight from KZN. The same week as well, we intend to request a special meeting again for Friday, same week, so that we can deliberate on the BRRR, because department will have presented their annual report. It will be important that the draft BRRR report post that presentation be considered, because it is due to the House the following week on the 20th. So it can't be there when it has not been deliberated and considered by the committee. It's going to put pressure on us as well, so I understand members' reaction. The following week then on the 20th be the consideration of the BRRR report, which is the next Tuesday. Which is over a day where that report is expected to be presented. Usually the reports are presented before the budget, the medium-term budget presentation by the Minister of Finance. So that statement is taking place that week on Wednesday the 21st. And so from then the following week, based on the deliberations that the committee has had with COCTA, with DDE and FRSA regarding number one, facilities, and the intention of FRSA to want to get the money, request the 15% portion back to it, members have insisted that they would want to meet the three institutions, Treasury, COCTA, and DDE, to that meeting. So the consideration of the BRRR would have taken place on the meeting of the 20th, so it will not be on that day. So on the 27th of October, we'll not be having consideration, but we'll be having that briefing by the department. The following week will then be the meeting that we postponed for this week, which was supposed to start this week, that of University Sport. That briefing will take place on that day. And the following week of the 10th, another tech meeting, because this issue of boxing, is in the report that it said you need to set aside a meeting with the Minister and Boxing South Africa, would take place on the 10th. But also in that, we thought we should also take advantage of that day to request from FRSA their state of readiness for the SA School Sport Championship, which usually takes place in December. It will also be a day where we say they should also be presenting to us their second quarterly report. We could have started from July until the end of September.
that's the second quarterly report to be presented in October the 10th. And also there, as part of the instrument that we thought we should be in our APP, that we thought we should be looking at in the next term, would be the country report that South Africa always provides to the UN Sports Working Program. You know, that desk where we always report. This report is linked to their program in Sports for Social Change. That's the country report that they always provide. So we thought that because the committee has never had the privilege of seeing what the reports that are presented to the UN and other international bodies look like, it would be another opportune moment for them to account to the committee in that regard. And again, the 17th, the meeting that we postponed of Hawaii, which was supposed to be on the 22nd of September, has been shifted to the 17th of November. That briefing. And we are hoping, that is also through the indulgence of the committee, that a committee would agree that we meet the NCOP, Select Commission on Recreation and Sport, just to see if we can have a joint discussion around common issues of oversight in provinces and other pressing issues that the committee is not able to reach and Select Committee will be able to reach the department. So with the blessing of this committee, we would schedule this meeting for that purpose. And the last week of September, you'd recall that in our APP, we had anticipated or planned to have an international study tour on that last week of November. But because of a change from the House Chair of the Program of Parliament, it not be possible. So it's an oversight week in that we haven't yet determined which province we'll be going to, but we share it scheduled for oversight so that the committee can decide on where it wishes to go during that week. And it will be constituency period until we see you members in February next year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Anyone wants to say something? Except that as we promised to go back in September in those two provinces, that because of time frame date, we couldn't go. What we think? We think that let's start new provinces without fulfilling that promise that Gauteng, if we think, will come back on September. And now September, we don't have anything. Are you not keen to take that December oversight? That we must do that? Or want this other province that we didn't visit? I want to start to must close the question here program.
Yes, I would like to propose that because this wave of oversight that we've been having are primarily focused on certain areas that I don't think we would have covered in the other provinces that we haven't gone to. Perhaps that we tried to cover all of them and same areas, so that when we come back, we look at other things. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. In support, because what he's saying now, Chairperson, that maybe we can cover the other provinces that we have never been there. But maybe if we can just cut maybe three, it's just a proposal, three or two members where we have promised the other provinces that we will come back in September, maybe in this committee oversight month, the 24th to the 27th. They go to that province, not all of us, the rest, maybe when they're done there, they can bring us to the other province where we'll be working. I mean, it's just a proposal.
Honorable members, I'm seeing you say something, Honorable Government.
It's very hard to see into the future. Usual actions is by the time it gets to November, there's last minute. it's often a thing that you get caught back for and that type of thing, because it's very hard to plan now for something that, you know, it's the end of the year, there's always reports that are outstanding.
What do you say?
You're putting me on the spot, Chef. I will conform with what the committee suggests. I personally just think that should keep it simple. Simple and effective.
I think it would be proper if we close where we did halfway. What I'm meaning is we promise people there that they'll come back and let's finish with them. Then when we go, otherwise the halfway won't give us results really. We still have to meet the boxers. You remember we said we must meet the boxers. So we can't just move and then we'll never know where we are and where we are going. Thank you.
Honourable members, there's a view that since we promised that we'll be coming in September because of reasons, why can't we finish that going back? I'm suggesting that Honourable Manana, she wanted to say that, but then she said we promised about we have to commit. Can we just say that let all of us go and fulfill that work in order that we do it justice? Honourable Musa.
I raised my thumb up for the chair.
Feeling that she's still young. Honourable members, we're going back where we promised. We appreciate your contribution, but even as a felt that let's go back. Yeah. Okay. There's nothing except I can say that during the weekend I'll ask. In fact, not during the weekend, when I was in New Zealand, I met Mark Owerabi. Mark, who is deputy president, I said, here in South Africa, we are used that when Bafana is going to play, we propose if Fridays or Friday, etc., Bafana. I've asked them that want a shirt of East Springbok. Umak referred me to Mayende, Mr. Mayende. I spoke to Mr. Mayende, said that this is so expensive. He is prepared to give only committee members. Corner, I was saying that the whole parliament, we want to see that during the Umonde or Uban. That were all as a parliamentarian given. So they promised us that they would speak to Usunen to take prizes. Never mind about these people thinking that you cannot support the run. Transformation, it's a long way. In this point, we know that you are supporting that rabbit. The only thing we caution them is that they must not select a black players and they put them on the bench, always on the bench. But I'm suspecting this committee will just support Iraqi and that wishing them that they must do well. So finally, as this committee will be wearing our t-shirts on Fridays, hoping I don't know when they're going to give us. I've seen that even the betting changed because he said he doesn't think that they can give the parliament the cause. That jersey is 800 each. But here again, he's a functionary. But the boss said, I must talk to him first. The boss didn't say anything about the price. So I've asked that. I left on Sunday last week, and we arrived on Tuesday in New Zealand. Sunday in the plane, Monday in the plane, Tuesday in the plane, and then we arrived there. People of what you call South Africa, they were having their own session there, deliberating, and we were given a status on the first day that were led by KZN delegation. The mayor and deputy mayor of Ikekwe was there, and we joined by our DG on behalf of our minister, and one other sambot was invited to join the delegation. It was the chairperson of the Ilotar. So the only thing that when you are coming from South Africa, you can't relax. Every other country, they want to talk and speak with you, especially this thing of Iraqi. So I've put him now the view of the committee and of the department saying that we are supporting Iraqi. Once the transformation is a process, and we still support Iraqi. So I didn't say anything further than that.
Do not use the radio on the platform of the center. If you don't want to do well, welcome
No. I met other people who were out of order. Oh, it was Honorable Bergman and Honorable Malak was with Mr. Gova. Also a member of Parliament, but he went there as a cook. So we had a good time with him. He loves sport and he knows issues. Thank you for those words. I'm saying that I'm back home. It was so cold to winter there, but our DGA presented us when time comes. When he was there, it was fine. It was worse with the mayor of Ekwini. You know, the way that they put effect about South Africa and about the sport, I was so impressed, and I was the loudest who was singing and relating there. They were saying Ekwini, sport and recreation of national well presented, they will invite us in other events because but there are things that are going on until 2022. I thank you.
I just want the committee to acknowledge and celebrate, you know, the upset that was caused by Alassane this morning to one of the world's and more South Africa to celebrate that. Thank you.
Honorable Mutek, how is the daughter? Honorable Mutek, I left here thinking that I was going to buy a car, but this thing of going off my, it was not exactly clear. I'm asking Honorable Mutek, how is the daughter?
Thank you, Chair, for asking. I've created the committee last week, and the daughter is coming right, and she can now walk to the school. Still limping, but she's getting there.
Thank you. We're with you in prayer as well. You are away. Except that we didn't manage to buy that because our program was very bad. Thank you so much. Meeting adjourned.